Canto, chapter 5, the demigods appeal to the Lord, text 21, isn't it? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Aham Bhavo Yuyam Ato Suradayo. Manushya Tiryag Drumagar Majataya. Yasyavataram Shakala Visarjita. Vrajama Sarve Sharanam Tamavyayam. Aham Bhavo Yuyam Ato Suradayo. Manushya Tiryag Drumagar Majataya. Yasyavataram Shakala Visarjita. Vrajama Sarve Sharanam Tamavyayam. Vaishnavis.
Thank you.
Baba, Lord Shiva, you am all of you demigods, ato as well as Asura, Daya, demons and others, Manushya, the human beings, Tiryak, the animals, Druma, the trees and plants, Garmajataya, as well as the insects and germs born of perspiration, Yasya, of whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Avatara, of the Purusha incarnation, Amsha, of his part and parcel, the Guna Avatara, Brahma, Kala, Brahma's sons, Visarjita, produced by the generation, Brajama, we shall go, Sarve, all of us, Sharanam, and to the shelter, Tam, and to the Supreme, Avyayam, the inexhaustible. Lord Brahma said, I, Lord Shiva, all of you demigods, the demons, the living entities born of perspiration, the living beings born of eggs, the trees and plants sprouting from the earth, and the living entities born from embryos, all come from the Supreme Lord, from his incarnation of Rajoguna, Lord Brahma, the Guna Avatar, and from the great sages who are great, who are part of me. Let us therefore go to the Supreme Lord and take shelter of his lotus feet. Purport. Some creatures are born from embryos, some from perspiration, and some from seeds. In this way, all living entities emanate from the Guna Avatar of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ultimately, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the shelter of all living entities. Omagyana timirandasya gyananjana salakaya chakshurum militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Ukam karoti vacharam pangum langayate girim yat kripatamaham bande shri gurum dinataranam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So continuing with the situation, when all the demigods went to see Lord Brahma at the top of Mount Sumeru to ask for advice what to do, Lord Brahma himself didn't know what to do. So he told them, the best thing for all of us, all living entities, and even Lord Shiva and you demigods, all living entities in this world, we are part of the Lord. We are everything is coming from the Supreme Lord. So being that the situation, including myself, is a Guna Avatar, Lord Brahma, in charge of the mode of passion, Raja. Raja means the potency to create, given by the Lord himself to Lord Brahma. So he told them, being that the situation, let us therefore go to the Lord, Supreme Lord, and take shelter of his lotus feet. That's the best advice. When we are in difficulties, and not knowing what to do about it, that's the best advice. We shall take shelter in the Supreme Lord. Difficulty may always arise in this material world because since beginning of creation there are demons and devotees. And because of that, all the time there is conflict. All the time. Arjuna called his mind the demon. He called Krishna Madhusudana. Please, the way you killed the demon Madhu, please also kill my evil mind who's trying to not to follow your instructions. So that's the purpose of the Vedic literature, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, to lead us toward the shelter of the Supreme Lord as our only refuge from all miseries of life, from all troubles, all problems of life. That's the only thing we can do, actually. And of course, for devotees, they know nothing happened accidentally. So here the demigods understood. We made offense. Indradev, our leader, made a big offense to a great sage, Durvasa Muni. So now we are paying the reaction. So the only way to counteract the reaction, of course, it is advised if we offend somebody, we should ask forgiveness from the person we offend. Then there is a way to counteract that too, and also taking shelter of the Lord at the same time. Srila Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada mentioned him in the previous verse, he showed that perfect example how one should be careful not to offend anyone. Once a devotee who was handicapped, when he walked, all his body will twist in a very weird way, you know. So he came to pay his respect to Srila Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami was absorbed in meditation. He didn't notice the devotee. But when the devotee approached him to offer obeisances, Srila Rupa Goswami started to laugh very loudly. And the devotee felt offended. Oh, he's laughing at my deformity. Oh, how is possible even Vaishnavas, you know, do that? So he left very depressed and disturbed. And Rupa Goswami could not continue his meditation on Krishna Lila anymore. His meditation was immediately interrupted. And he tried again to concentrate his mind and try to enter, you know, the mood of loving service and meditating on the pastimes of the Lord. He could not. No matter how hard he tried, all day he couldn't do it. So he approaches elder brother Sanatana Goswami and asks for advice. What should I do? This is the situation. Why this happened to me? He accepted his elder brother as his guru, as his shiksha guru, his guide. So Sanatana Goswami told him, maybe unnoticingly you offended the Vaishnava. And Rupa Goswami asked that, how can I ask forgiveness if I don't know who I offended or how I offended? Sanatana Goswami said, do something. Invite all the Vaishnavas of Vrindavan to a feast. Make a prasad feast to everyone. Invite everyone. And the Vaishnava who doesn't come, that's the one who felt offended. So he did that, and that what happened. That Vaishnava didn't come. The only one who didn't come. So Rupa Goswami, with Mahaprasad in his hands, he went to see this Vaishnava and asked forgiveness. Please, if unnoticingly and purposely I offended you, please forgive me. And the Vaishnava said, well, to tell you the truth, I went to see you the other day to pay my respects to you, but as soon as I approach you, you start laughing loudly, and I felt hurt by this. I thought you were laughing at my deformity. And Rupa Goswami, no, please don't think like that. I wasn't laughing at you at all. Please, don't think like this way. Then why was you laughing then? Well, I don't want to tell, but you are forcing me. I have to tell you why I was laughing. I was seeing the pastimes of Krishna in my heart. And I saw Krishna hiding on the branches of a tree. And the gopis and Radharani were picking flowers to make garland for Krishna. So Radharani approached the tree where Krishna was hiding, and one branch full of flowers was a little high. So Krishna, with his foot, pushed down the branch so Krishna, Radharani can catch the flowers. So with one hand, she grabbed the branch, and with the other hand, she was picking the flowers. But then Krishna, to play a joke on Radharani, he lifted his foot and the branch jumped up with Radharani on it. She jumped also up. So that made me laugh. That's why I was laughing. So the devotee fell at Rupa Goswami's feet asking forgiveness. No, please, you forgive me for thinking bad of you. You then both embraced and the situation was, you know, nicely resolved. So when there is misunderstanding, which is not rare in this world, it's very often there are misunderstandings. The Vaishnava way is to speak up and find, you know, how to, in the Krishna conscious way, to solve the situation. So since we are still celebrating, what we are celebrating? Anybody knows? Yes, we are still celebrating Chandanyata, supposed to be 21 days. Of course, in our mind, we can offer some sandalwood to the Lord. That's okay. It's not so hot here, so it's not needed, actually. In India, it's very hot, so that's why this. Even there, they do it only one day. Mm-hmm. And not all temples put sandalwood on the Lord. For example, this temple, Banki Bihari, they don't put sandalwood, but what they do is they show the lotus feet of the Lord that day. All year they don't show. The question may arise, why is that? I mean, they cover generally the lotus feet of Radharani and may show them on Radhastami or on such day like this. But why, you know, because he is Krishna, you know? And the reason is that Haridas Swami, the great Vaishnava who discovered this deity, first they were two. They were Radha and Krishna. So he was very pleased to serve them, but he told them, since I'm a sannyasi, I have no problems in buying dhotis for Krishna, but I have difficulty in buying bracelets and bangles and saris for Radharani. That's a little difficult for me. So, and it's also, you know, to serve them nicely, both is more difficult. So, smiling, both became one. The deities merged in each other. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate to have darshan 1 year and this occasion, you know, of Chandanyatra, and looking closely at the feet of Banki Bihari, I noticed that one foot was bigger than the other. And I found out that the smaller foot was Radharani's foot. So that's why they cover it all year. They only show it in that day. So... So in relation to Srila Madhavendra Puri's pastime, pure devotional service to Sri Gopal, actually Sri Gopal enacted all this pastime to ask his devotee to go to Jagannath Puri to bring sandalwood, everything, just to make the world known how great Vaishnava Madhavendra Puri was. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine the great difficulty at this time to travel by foot and bring a bullock car full of sandalwood, you know. It was a great, you know, all but Muslims all around, you know, collecting taxes and, you know, a lot of difficulty. But to show how much love and surrender Madhavendra Puri has for Krishna, Sri Gopal inspired him, appeared to him in a dream, go bring me this. Mm-hmm. So, when Madhavendra Puri wanted to taste the kheer He didn't want to test it for a sense gratification. No. He wanted to test that kheer because one Vaishnava, while having darshan of the Lord, told him in his ear, this kheer is very, very special. Nowhere in India they can do it like this. So fragrant, so nice spices in it. It was wonderful. So Madhavendra Puri thought in his mind, I would like to taste it so I will know the ingredients and cook the same preparation for my Gopal in Vrindavan, in Govardhan. That was his intention, to do it for the service of the Lord. But then he noticed that the kheer wasn't offered yet, was gonna be offered. The pujari just entered with it to the altar to offer it. So he felt ashamed that, oh, I desire to test it before it was offered to the Lord. And that's why he left and was fasting all day, you know. So, another thing that after yesterday's class, I discussed with Giriraj Maharaj all this pastime of Madhavendra Puri and other things. And I felt inspired by his association to talk a little more about it today. So, another thing is, after drinking the kheer, Srila Madhavendra Puri felt so much ecstatic love for Krishna, he broke the pot, the clay pot, into small pieces. And he tied to this dhoti. And every day he will eat a small amount of that clay and shed tears of love for Krishna. So, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did go after taking sannyas, he did go to Jagannath Puri with Nityananda, Srivas and other associates, five in total. The Lord was feeling internally great separation from Krishna. He wasn't aware of the external world. But when he entered the Oriya state, he saw one dobi, washerman, washing clothes at the river. So he approached this dobi and spoke to him. Dobi, please chant the holy name of Krishna. Say Haribol. The dobi said, oh, you are a sannyasi, I should give you a donation, but I'm a very poor man and I don't have nothing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, you don't have to give me anything. Just please chant Haribol. The dobi still doubting said, well, I'm too busy. I have no time for this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, give me the cloth. I will wash it for you. You just chant Haribol. So seeing the insistence of Lord Chaitanya, the dobi without still washing, he didn't give it up. He said, Haribol. Oh, wonderful, Lord Chaitanya said. Repeat it one more time. Haribol. Lord Chaitanya, a third time. Haribol. So the dobi left his washing and start dancing. Haribol, 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 Haribol. And a big kirtan, you know. So the old devotee is smiling, seeing the fun. And the man was dancing, chanting, you know. His wife came with his prasad, his lunch, and she saw him dancing. She was surprised, since when you are a dancer, come sit down, have your food. And he could not hear her. He could not even see her. His eyes were completely blank, you know. So she became frightened. Maybe he's ghost hunted or something. So she called some men from town. Please help me. I think my husband is haunted by a ghost, you know. See his eyes completely blank, you know, and jumping, dancing, do something. So they came like 20, 30 men. And the bravest one, he tried to stop him by grabbing his arms. But as soon as he touched him, he also started to dance and chant Haribol. So the other became more frightened. Oh, now he's ghost hunted too. But the second man, although he was in ecstasy, he could relate to people. He told them, no, there is no Buddha here, no ghost, only Ananda, only bliss. Come, let me touch you. And he touched all of them. A big kirtan started going on. So the neighbor town, they hear that their neighbor became mad. So out of curiosity, they came to see what's going on. And in that way, the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya expanded every town and village. In that way. Anyway, so when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associate, I mean, when Lord Chaitanya left, the wife of the washerman was also chanting, dancing too. They left everything. Thousands of people were following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They would not give up his company. And after walking for 2-3 hours with him, the Lord asked them, please, please, return to your home. Follow my instruction, you will always be with me. And what was the instruction given? Bolo Krishna, Baja Krishna, Koro Krishna, Shika. Chant the holy name of Krishna, worship Krishna, and follow Krishna's instructions as they are in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. In that way, you will be always with me. So crying, all the people went back to their home. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at the Remuna temple, where Gopinath is there. Mm-hmm. Famous, after the pastime with Madhavendra Puri, became known as Kir Chora Gopinath. The thief. And you know, I visited that mom many times, but the first time I went there, the Pujari told me an amazing story about those deities. He said that when Lord Ramchandra and Sita were living in the forest, one rainy night they took shelter in a cave. Next day, after sunrise, they came out and they saw a coward man with cows, and Lord Ramchandra started, you know, to laugh and smile, you know, and clap. So Sita Devi asked him why we were so happy. And he said, because when I saw the cows, it reminded me that my next life I will be a coward boy. She said, really? Yes. And I will dance with the gopis also. So Sita was very curious. I would like to see that form of you as Gopinath. So to please Sita, Lord Ramchandra would bow and arrow, he carved the deity of Gopinath. Mm-hmm. And to install the deity, Sita Devi took an arrow and touched the body of Gopinath, and a little drop of blood came out of the body of the deity, meaning the deity was installed. It was alive. Mm-hmm. And she worshipped this deity for a long time, and then they moved to another forest. So some sages took over the worship, and in due course of time was forgotten. Until one king in Jagannath Puri had a dream where Gopinath told him, I am in such place, abandoned. I want you to bring me to Jagannath Puri and to worship me again. So the king was very devoted to the Lord, and he went and found the deity and was bringing it. But he stopped for the night at this place, Remuna. At night, the deity told him in a dream, I like this place very much. It's very beautiful. I want you to make a temple for me here. I want to stay here. So that's the way Gopinath stayed in Remuna. So at Remuna, Lord Chaitanya heard from Nityananda Prabhu the story of Madhavendra Puri's devotional service to Gopal and to Gopinath. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was overwhelmed with ecstasy. So, more discussion went on about Srila Madhavendra Puri. And Madhavendra Puri, at the last stage of his life, by the mercy of Srimati Radharani, he recited a verse, a poem, that shows his extreme love and separation from Krishna. Srila Madhavendra Puri is the first one in the Madhva Sampradaya to express this Krishna Prema in the highest degree. Before that, the Madhva Sampradaya is full of ritualistic ceremonies and Varnashram and all these things. But Krishna Prema, the way Madhavendra showed it, was the first person. And through him, Lord Chaitanya, through Ishvara Puri, he received that seed of... That's the Gaudiya Vaishnava explained it that way. So at the last stage of his life, Srila Madhavendra Puri, he recited this famous verse. Ayi dina dayardra nata he matura nata kadava lokyase hridayam tvad aloka kataram dayita brahmyati kim karomi aham. So Krishna is Dinanath, is the Lord of the poor. So considering him very poor, himself very poor, and rejected, Madhavendra Puri recited, O Lord of the poor, O Lord of Mathura, when I will see you again? Not being able to see you, my heart became restless. So this verse actually was recited by Srimati Radharani herself, and by her mercy appeared in the heart of Srila Madhavendra Puri, and he recited this verse repeatedly before leaving his body, and to the mercy of Radhani he went to Radha Krishna, back home, back to Godhead. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this verse, he was running, rolling in the ground, and was trying to repeat the verse. But he could only say, Ayidina. He couldn't say more than that. He was in so much an ecstatic emotion, he could not recite the full verse. The same thing happened to him when he was during Ratha Yatra to dance for Lord Jagannath. He was trying to say Jagannath, but that would not come out. He was saying Jaja Gaga. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he came to show how to love Krishna in separation. And according to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, this is the highest way to express one's love for Krishna, feeling always his absence. Have a lauliam, great hankering to serve the Lord, to be in his company. And that burns all impurity from the heart very fast, very fast. When one can develop such feelings for the Lord, the heart, the mind becomes very fast getting purified. So I also, when Maharaj was speaking yesterday about devotees being very humble, that reminded me one story about humbleness. One disciple of Ramanujacharya, his name was Govinda. Govinda was a pure devotee of the Lord, very qualified, with wonderful qualities. So one day, his godbrothers were praising him. Oh, Govinda, you have such nice qualities. You are tolerant, you are merciful, you are kind, you are humble. And they start to recite all his good qualities. And to their dismay, he said, yes, you are right. I have all those good qualities. So they became shocked, you know. Generally, when somebody tried to praise you, you say, no, Prabhu, I'm a fallen soul, don't say like that. Although may internally think, oh, finally somebody, you know, acknowledge me. But at least externally you try to be humble, you know. But Govinda said, yes, I have those all qualities. So they went to Ramanujacharya to tell him, Gurudev, we were praising Govinda. And he said, yes, it is true. He apparently became very proud. So Ramanujacharya called Govinda and asked him, what is this pride, Govinda? You know it is not right for a Vaishnava to be proud. Why are you saying you are like this? And Govinda said, my dear Gurudev, frankly speaking, for my own, I don't have any good qualities. If I have any, it's only due to your mercy alone. So, by accepting that I have those qualities, I'm accepting that you gave me your mercy. How can I deny that you gave me your mercy? So, Ramanujacharya was pleased and he embraced him. He said, you really understood. So, Krishna said, Purusham Darishu, Bhagavad Gita, I am ability in man. So any ability we may have is coming from Krishna. We shall give all the credit to Guru and Krishna, not to ourselves. We should not show off borrowed feathers. Do you know that saying? I think I made it up. there is a story behind it that once a crow found a peacock feather on the ground and he put it on his tail and he was showing off in front of the other crows. Ah, look, now I am a peacock. So it was a borrowed feather, it wasn't his own. So we shall not show off with borrowed feather. Anyway, so in the same way we should always remember any ability we may have is the Guru and Krishna's mercy, nothing else. When we do that, then we don't have to be artificially humble. That's not good either, you know. Once a devotee told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I am the most fallen. Prabhupada noticed what artificial humility, and Prabhupada told him, you are not the most anything. We want to be the most something, you know. So, has to be natural, And that comes naturally when we get purified by the process of bhakti. Trying to imbibe the Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding and how to love and serve Krishna, feeling his absence, feeling separation, to become eager. That's the method given to us by Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas. So by following that, we surely will get the highest benefit in life. So I also about the pastime of Navendra Puri and the Kheer, while Maharaj was explaining that, I remembered one pastime that has to do with Kheer also, in relation to the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Once, Sanatana Goswami came to visit his brother, Rupa Goswami, and they became absorbed in discussing Krishna Katha, fully absorbed. And time was passing, hours and hours. So Rupa Goswami thought in his mind, my brother, Sanatana Goswami, hasn't eaten anything today. And I don't like him, see him fasting. I know he likes kheer very much. I would like, if possible, to make some kheer for him. He had that only in his back of his mind, he had that thought, although still continuing with the Krishna Katha. And suddenly, village girl, they both know, came to visit them, and she brought rice and sugar and milk. And she told, I have here for you ingredients to make kheer if you want. But they hardly noticed her because they were so absorbed in the discussion. She noticed that and she told them, okay, please continue with your holy conversation. I will take care of cooking the kheer. So she herself made the kheer and offered it to Krishna and gave it to them. And she left. So Rupa Goswami offered the kheer to his brother Sanatana. And Sanatana, after taking a little bit from it, he started to cry, roll on the ground, you know. He said, what you put in this kheer just by tasting a little drop from it? I became ecstatic. I mean, remember, Sanatana Goswami had tested prasad in Jagannath Puri, Mahaprasad from Lord Jagannath and everything. He had experience of ecstatic prasad. But this was a very, very special. And I don't know, I didn't cook it. One village girl, we both know she cooked it. He said, Sanatana told Rupa, chastising him. Did you thought in your mind that you wanted to cook this kheer for me? And Sarata Rupa said, well, to tell the truth, yes, I did thought that he was hungry, didn't eat all day, and I know this is your favorite preparation. Oh, Sanatan became very upset. He said, you know what you did? You made Rahani come to cook for me this. I'm very, very upset with you. You should not have thought like that. Radharani is the object of our worship and love and service. How we can engage her in our service? That is not right. So he chastised him like that. So this, just see, you know, different levels of pure devotional service. I mean, Gopinath stole kheer, Chorigov stole the kheer for Madame Indra Puri. And of course, that was wonderful. The love, you know, the exchange of love between the Lord and His pure devotees is so wonderful. And we can see it from different angles, how blissful it is, how wonderful it is. And we should appreciate more and more the Vaishnava Association. It's very, very important. So important, Prabhupada said, 90% of our spiritual advancement depends on good association and giving up the bad association. That's the secret to all advancement in life. So, the demigods, along with Lord Brahmas, they understood there is no other solution to our problems but to take shelter on the Lord. There is nothing else we can do about it. And that's the helplessness we should feel always in relation to the Lord. Remember that prayer by Lord Rama? Tatte nukampam shushamikshama no bunjana evatma kritam vipakam hidabha burdhi vidadam namaste jiveta yomukti pade sadaya bhak. That devotee is always expecting, one day Krishna will favor me. And with that expectation and hope, he continued living, doing his devotional service. And even reverses and difficulties in life, he also takes it as Krishna's mercy. Because devotees think, because of my past misdeeds, I should be suffering even much, much more. But Krishna is so kind and merciful, since I'm trying to serve him, he's diminishing. He's giving me only a token of what I actually deserve. So in that way, devotee never lose faith in the Lord. Rather, increases his faith and surrender more to the Lord. And that way he becomes Dayabak. You know what Dayabak means? Inheritor. He inherited the kingdom of God as his rightful inheritance. What a son has to do to inherit his father's property? Thank you. At what means to stay alive in Krishna consciousness? And the inheritance is eternal, the father is eternal, and the son is eternal. Nobody has to die to inherit. But to stay alive in Krishna consciousness, that's the way we get the mercy of the Lord. And it's so nice to see so many devotees for years and years and years. I lived here 30 years ago. And it's one of the scenes. Everywhere you go, some people you don't see them again. But it's wonderful to see so many steady, wonderful devotees continuing to serve Prabhupada. It's very, very inspiring. Very inspiring. So, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak some Harikatha. And if anybody has any comment or questions or corrections too, yes.
Yes. I had had an experience yesterday. I was at UCLA. I was distributing books, and I met a student who is Christian. We have a nice conversation. He already read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and many other books, and he likes to read many other books. So he got a book. He took it, come back half an hour later, and he was feeling like regretful, it was not right for him to like depart from his own belief. He still has that attachment for Jesus, so he told me. So then I spent another time, like another 20 minutes talking to him. And since you were mentioning Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, so I said, let me give you one of these books. And I opened it up and started reading about the six favorable principles of devotional service. And one of them was, he read it. I made him to read that. So he read it. He said, that's it. He said, no association with the non-devotees.
Yes.
That hit him really strong.
Yes.
And then we spent time talking, and then he started crying, like thanking for that. This is a very meaningful thing, he said.
See, this knowledge is for everyone. People are in need of this knowledge. When Prabhupada visited South America, the temple priest asked him, Prabhupada, why you insist in distributing a lot of books? And Prabhupada said, because people are suffering. They need this knowledge. They need this knowledge. Please help me. I had a wonderful experience with Prabhupada in relation to book distribution. I don't want me to share it with you. From the first day I came to the temple, they gave me the service of distributing books. I mean, I arrived one evening, next day in the morning, they showed me how to put a dhoti on and sent me to the street. That was the Bhakta program. And was praying, please, I hope not my friends see me with this skirt, you know, pink skirt. Anyway, so when what happened is that at the time of initiation, Prabhupada called me and, you know, what are the four rules and etc. And he gave me the name at that time, Jagat Chakshur Das. So Prabhupada explained to the people the meaning of the name. He said, Jagat means the universe and Chakshur means the eye. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you should always remember that God's sight is on you. And then he looked back at me while pointing his finger and he said, you cannot hide from the eyes of God. He said it with that voice, and I couldn't forget it ever. So, and I thought everybody was looking at me, maybe he did something wrong, you know. And I felt like, oh, let the earth open up, swallow me up. I felt so embarrassed a little bit, you know, because I thought Prabhupada was reading my mind, because the day before, after Mongol Arati, I went to the kitchen, nobody was there, and I stole a Mahasweet burfi and was hiding, nobody's watching me, I was eating. So when Prabhupada said, you cannot die, I thought, wow, he caught me up. So next day, after initiation, in the evening, I came back from Sankirtan, and I forgot that Prabhupada, I mean, the temple president instructed us not to go down to the Brahmacharya ashram, passing through Prabhupada's garden, you know. We used to do that every day, but while Prabhupada was there, temple president, he may want to stay in the garden, so better you go some other stairs around your ashram. And I forgot that. So I went down the stair to the garden, and suddenly I was face to face with Prabhupada. I was sitting in a rocking chair, chanting softly, and I immediately paid my obeisances, and I freezes there. I didn't know what to do, to stay, to go, you know. So Prabhupada didn't speak to me, he just looked at me and ignoring me completely. You know, I didn't have an appointment with him or anything. But then he made a gesture in his hand like, what's up? What do you want? You know? So very nervously I said, Prabhupada, I just came from distributing your books in the city. And that softened him a little bit. He said, Acha, so, and how Venezuelan people like my books? Oh, I immediately became, you know, relieved. Oh, yeah, very much, Prabhupada. As soon as they read the book, they become very favorable. They visit the temple. They ask me for new titles. Prabhupada moved his head like that. No? He stood up and went to his room, and I followed him. He made me sign to follow him. So, on a table, he had a tray with sweet to give to guests, and he took one of the sweets and gave it to me. And he said, "Thank you for helping me." I felt like crying, you know, because I didn't expect that. And mercy, you know, was unexpected. And I thought to myself, Prabhupada's telling me, you don't need to steal the sweet. I give it to you. So that was very, very beautiful remembrance I wanted to share with you since you spoke about book distribution. So thank you for that. For that inspiration. See how important is devotee association? It makes you remember Krishna and Prabhupada. Any other comment or question? Another thing about Asat Sangha, Tyaga, to give up the association of non-devotees, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Bhakti Aloka explained that doesn't mean you don't speak or relate to people, family or friends, because you have to go out to speak with people, you have a job, a family, friends who are not devotees, but rather not to become attached to their company. You relate to them whatever is needed to be done, but not become too attached to them, or their activities, or their mentality. So that's the main idea behind Asat Sangha Tyaga, not to get the company. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Haribol.